Welcome to the Healthcare IT Today interview series. We feel lucky to be able to talk to so many smart, passionate, and knowledgeable people in healthcare. Now, we're taking our favorite interviews and sharing them with you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy perspectives on the world of health IT.
Hey everyone, I'm John Lynn, the founder and chief editor at Healthcare IT Today. We're excited to bring you another in our series of interviews with top leaders in health IT. And our guest today is Jim Jacobs. He's CEO at MediQuant. Welcome, Jim.
Thanks so much for having me again. Really appreciate the opportunity to talk.
Yeah, I always learn a lot from you and excited to do that today. But for those that don't know you, tell us a little bit about yourself and MediQuant.
Sure. MediQuant was formed in 1999. We were a leading health data management and active archive company. I joined the journey in 2016. I'm the CEO and president. And it's certainly my privilege to be part of such an amazing team.
That's awesome. Well, as you kind of mentioned, MediQuant is known, you know, far and wide for data archiving expertise. That's your bread and butter. But MediQuant does a lot more than just archiving. So tell us, what else is happening at MediQuant?
Yeah, thank you for that. We definitely started in patient accounting and really pioneered the active patient accounting space. That moved into clinical, ERP, HIM. We've even done dental. So we've moved into a lot of spaces. The thing we did was we took a step back and said, what do the C-suite executives need? Facing an amazing amount of compliance risk, cost pressures. So we took a step back to say, how can we help them in a much broader way? So we've added conversion services.
Okay.
We've got an interoperability play now.
Wow.
We are in the very beginning of AI. So we've got some AI movement in the product suite. So definitely rounding out the suite to be much bigger because our primary customer, is the large IDNs, including the DoD.
Interesting. So talk to us about that. I mean, the expansion of the portfolio must have changed who the stakeholders are that, you know, within the healthcare organization who benefit from your strategic data archiving programs and these other programs. So who are the stakeholders that you work with mostly on this?
Yeah, that's an insightful question. So early on, it was mostly an IT to-do. We've moved from one system to another.
That's interesting.
The IT team needs to shut this one down and move to the next one. Now with active use cases, with smart on fire transactions, with interoperability, we may need the PFS team involved, the CFO, if we're doing patient accounting. We'll definitely bring in the HIM team for release of information. Clinical teams are always a part of the team with the clinical applications. So it's gotten much broader. Hospitals have also invested in VPs of applications or other new roles. So I often call it the office of the CIO or the CIO suite,
okay.
But it absolutely spills into all the other constituents because it's the healthcare data across the continuum. One of the things we've added is an ability to help plan for acquisitions.
Okay.
So when they're assessing what they're looking for, what they're trying to figure out, what are they taking on, that also spans because it's not definitely not just an IT to do anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that evolution has been interesting because there's been so much consolidation that, you know, that many have had to build that as an expertise as part of the acquisition, because
right.
It wasn't just this onesie, twosie, you know,
no,
most
not
people
at all.
Coming with hundreds of, you know,
that's right.
Systems that they have to integrate. That's interesting.
Now you've got four patient accounting systems. You've got three EMRs. You've got four inventory systems. It's like, how do you, so app rationalization is a space we moved into some time ago. And that is actually getting to the point of how do we prioritize? How do we scope work? How do we help hospitals know where they should spend their time? Let's say they stop paying for maintenance. There may be a vulnerability patch that hasn't been applied. And as we all know, there are bad actors out there. They need to get the software patched or get it off the servers.
Yeah, interesting. You mentioned interoperability as well as an area that you're working in. Talk about, you know, how MediQuant and your data arc are enabling interoperability, because interoperability is an important goal that you've been working on for a long time.
Yes, been around for a long time. For sure, there was HL7 before there was FHIR and Smart on FHIR. And for us, we think about it in terms of a framework. If you're gonna make data interoperable, you have to get it first,
Okay. Get
it in a good format, and make it available. So there's an entire extract, conversion, just getting the data out. Many vendors will put data in PDFs, which makes interoperability very hard. You don't have the discrete data anymore.
Yep.
Or they assume that the hospital gets all the data ready magically. And when you're talking about thousands of back-end systems, not just the current EMR, there's a lot of work that gets done in that. And then building the platform for interoperability has been interesting. We've always had a belief that the data is valuable. It's an asset. So we now have one customer who's taking data out of DataArc and feeding a downstream system from DataArc.
Interesting.
People always used to say, well, isn't DataArc the place data goes to die?
it's the archiving solution.
It's not. We're actually doing over 25,000 transactions per day on the interoperability platform for this one system.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, I mean, it's good that the data doesn't just go there to die. It should be used for the patient to improve it. That's great. I was intrigued that you said you're working on AI with data archiving. You know, I wouldn't have expected that. I always love the unexpected. It's my favorite stories when I cover them. So talk to us, how do you see AI and data archiving being connected?
So going back to a fundamental premise of our business was we wanted to get data out in a discrete format and get it as one patient, one record. That then enables some of the new AI engines that are coming online. Mm-hmm. We have a customer now that is taking data out of the patient accounting system, and they are putting it into an AI data warehouse looking for denial management opportunities. Mm. And they're going back 10 years.
Okay.
I've had a lot of people say, well, isn't the data old after 2 or 3 or 4 years? No, keep it. You don't know how many more AI use cases are coming out. Clinical, the sky's the limit. How many other clinical use cases could there be? When you think about long-term conditions, when does Alzheimer's really start?
Okay.
Wouldn't you like to have decades worth of data? So when we think about data, AI, we're using it internally for helping our own coders code faster.
Okay.
We're looking into ways to ingest data better, to map data more efficiently, just for identification purposes. And then for use cases around actually benefiting the end customer. I mean, think about the hospitals that are self-insured. They have their own insurance plans. They need that long-term data, right? We did a hip replacement. What happened? What's happened with the patient? They're now the insurer in that case. So they need all the data that backs it up.
Yeah. I mean, your point about wanting all of that past data is really interesting. You know, I guess you're arguing that this archiving strategy and being able to access the data after it's archived is an important part of a person's AI strategy. Is that what you're seeing play out?
We are. Again, I mentioned one specific customer. He is using the patient accounting data, and he is specifically tasked with a denial management set of use cases. And he's using AI to look for patterns where they believe denials took place that shouldn't have taken place.
Interesting. Wow. I mean, but there's always that challenge, right? I mean, you're the expert of this, of like, well, if I keep the data, I'm responsible for it. And so like, there's some compliance officers like, get rid of it as quick as possible. But now, I mean, is there a tide shifting towards like, no, we need the data because AI is going to want all that data?
So the question becomes, we believe there is. The question is it an asset or not? Is it valuable or not? Mm. And we still absolutely have people who think it's just not valuable, not useful, get rid of it. And I've always said, you're saving nickels on data storage. The compliance security is real, but the value to feeding future use cases, to helping with denial management, just imagine the value of one large denial that you can solve. That'll pay for all the shrinking down of data storage that you tried to undertake.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that's one area where MediQuant's an expert, right? Is like, do you keep the data? Do you not? Do you archive it? Do you
Sure.
not? Like, how do you approach it? Are there some other examples where you feel like, you know, you've become an expert and you've seen over the years and you know, you probably bump into customers that don't understand the problem as well,
that's
and you're
right.
able to offer that expertise?
We're willing to offer it. Some of them don't want it, and that's okay too. Some people are just, it's hair on fire. We've got to save money. We've got to shut this system down. Mm-hmm. So we want to be a reliable partner for our customers to just meet them where they are. So we do have service offerings to help walk them through just what should their decommissioning plans be,
okay.
How should they deal with the data they have. Take a feed out of your inventory system and start sorting through it, saying, where should we spend our time? We've got this AS400 system that keeps falling over. We're rebooting it every weekend. We better get off it fast. The CIOs face so many complicated problems. The other thing we have always done is we've hired experts. So if you're doing a clinical project with us, you'll have a clinician on your project. If you're doing a patient financial services, you'll have someone who has walked the walk. They have been a hospital employee. They know how to talk you through what the issues are. Our goal is that we're ahead of the issues. We're delivering the expertise, and our customers are signing off. They're not working through a bunch of additional problems. Now, that's always aspirational. We don't always get there, but that is absolutely our focus.
Interesting. And so looking forward, what do you see on the horizon for MetaQuant that you're excited about? Obviously, it seems like AI is going to continue to evolve, but what do you see on the horizon?
So I'm excited about the future. Our customers are fantastic. They come to us more and more for help. It's not just cost savings. They need help with compliance. They, as you mentioned, they need to understand the distribution of systems they have. It's turned into a really big deal. We have many hospitals that have over 1,000 computer systems they need to figure out what to do with. If you add in conversion services, you add in a broader spectrum of what they need to help them out, the future is bright. I'm also just super interested in AI. Yeah. Where is it actually going? A lot of fluff out there, a lot of things that aren't real. So we are being cautious. We're cautiously optimistic. And the use cases we're using are very well defined or directly in concert with our customers. That's what gets me excited.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think there's a term that, you know, product proliferation happens at every mm-hmm. health system. I remember hearing about this rural one that was acquired by a larger health system. And they're like, they have 500 different systems. And they're like, it's a rural, you know,
wow.
How did that happen? But, you know, onesie, twosies, it just happens over time. So you offer a really interesting solution that's solving a real problem. So I appreciate
you
sharing these insights and perspectives and helping us understand the space better.
Absolutely.
And thanks everyone for watching and listening. If you want to find more great healthcare IT content like this, be sure to check it out at healthcareittoday.com or search for Healthcare IT Today on your favorite podcasting applications. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.